And now, your local forecast.
Thanks for tuning in. This is The Forecast. My name is M4 Sonic, and tonight I'm joined by my co-host, Chief Street.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. I can't believe we've reached the end.
This is the end. This is the final Forecast episode for the year.
Number 30. How did we get here? I know we kind of reminisced on it last week a bit, so I'm not going to harp on it too much. Now that we're actually here, it's a bit crazy to look back on.
We have a special guest.
Who? I didn't see anyone.
It's Marshmallow. Okay, so by popular demand, Luke, you have been asked to appear several times.
It's really him.
It's really him. We didn't get the Christmas jumper memo.
I'm so salty. He's got more?
Yeah.
Dude, who does this? We should have known better.
I went and looked at the shops. I actually went out and had a look for jumpers for us. And couldn't find any and gave up. I rage quit.
I've got a Christmas jumper at home.
Well, then I would have been the third one out.
We could have figured something out for you because he could have given one item away.
Anyway, welcome, Luke.
Thanks. How good's an outfit change?
How good. All right. So for those of you that haven't been watching the last 30 episode, Luke is effectively, well, he's my manager. I guess he's your manager too now, right? Sure. You've just
latched onto that.
Luke's our manager. Also, Luke is label boss at Global League, Lavari Artists. You've done a whole bunch of stuff overseas. And now you're back in Adelaide finally and we can actually track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the group chat when we were quoting you and then I was quoting Luke about that time we asked him about New York. Like, how was it? And he just went, yeah, good.
Well, that was actually from last week as well. We had the same quote. I watched the first 2 minutes of that episode. Oh. Shh, don't tell Luke we spoke about it.
Yeah, it was a big city, I think, is what I think.
Yeah. weather was nice this time.
No, you went and it was like the dust storms or something. Yeah, like wrapping up.
That's right.
Canada fires. Yeah. Completely wiped out the whole city with smoke. Yeah.
So again, we haven't given Luke anything in terms of this is what we're going to ask you on the show. We're just totally throwing him under the bus. That's how we like to do the Forecast. But if this is your first time here, this is like a music entertainment podcast where I and Chief Street talk about our journeys in the music industry past, present and future. And it's great to have Luke here too because we do a lot of the back end business, especially label stuff, artist rights, publishing, record label deals, touring, all that sort of jam. And a follow on from last week's episode, if you tuned in, Chief asked me to give some advice on what would he ask his, I guess, your students. Were they your students or were they just a class? I don't know.
They weren't particularly my students, but they were definitely a group of people learning. So yeah, they seemed like students.
They're all aspiring DJs, correct?
Yes. And there was more producers littered in there than I kind of anticipated. I definitely thought that maybe not a lot of them would be interested in production completely, but most of them were actually really excited to have something different because I think they had recently had a lot of DJs come through.
Right.
And I said from the start, no, that's not going to be me. But luckily, Chris, Madface, he set me up a computer, my computer with a TV behind me.
Yep.
So I was able to actually bring up Ableton at the end and I went it was really hard. I was like, how do I come at this group of people who don't know who I am and pretend, I didn't want to pretend as if I was giving them advice with nothing to stand on. So I kind of showed them my career path a little bit and showed them some clips and stuff like that. I'd be like, this is who I am.
Yep.
And this is why I'm giving you advice because, I've done something.
How many people?
I reckon about 20.
Sweet. So, all right. So there's 20 people sitting in a venue and you had to give a presentation. How long was the presentation for?
I reckon I spoke for about close to an hour in the end.
Wow.
It's easy to talk when you're very passionate about something, right?
Yep. So did you talk about, doing things for the right reasons? What were the main topics?
So firstly, like I said, I went through, it's funny, my notes are in my bag and I kind of wish I had them because I would have just passed around and run it through. But from what I can remember, it was a lot of the time was just spent when I was explaining my career path, I was showing them how everything was linked together. And then I kind of wrapped up talking about myself and showing them some music. That probably would have been about 20 minutes. And I just started, then I kind of leaned into the heading, the topics of what I wanted to just tell them, which relationships were number one for me. And then it was kind of what we said last week, being professional, being polite, that type of stuff.
Did you get any questions?
Yeah. So then after all of that, I launched Ableton up and I ran through the most recent remix I put out last week.
Yep.
And kind of just showed them like on a very like shallow level, like this is what a song looks like. And then yeah, plenty of questions, and a lot of them I was just like, time and patience. Like, you know, people are like, you know, want to get results as quick as they can, but it's such a long journey when it comes to production. It's like, it will come. You just have to be patient. Like,
did you see a lot of like, I don't know, disappointed faces when you gave that answer?
Nah, not really. I had such a good time. They were so great. Like, I've done another presentation somewhere else and like it was well received as well. But this was like a specialized group of people who are like meeting up almost every week.
Yep.
And they're going to a venue and they're getting their hands on decks and practicing, and they've got genuine interest. Like, to rock up almost every week or every other week, like you care.
I noticed a few followed our podcast Instagram.
Some of them already were watching as well. So it was really cool because I definitely did some plugs and I was like, oh, you know, what came up? VOE remix. I was like, well then, you know, I did that through Global. And then I had you guys like noted. I said, you know, during COVID or whatever, I released a couple of songs on this label called Global League. Keep that name in mind because in 2 years, I'm going to jump back to it. And then we jumped ahead and it was suddenly about the studio. And I was like, guys who ran the label, guess what? They decided they were going to open a studio. And then somehow I just, you know, it was just, yeah. I definitely had a great time. They were awesome. And I hope some of them are watching, and I think they are, or listening.
Shout outs to
Next Step.
And Madface for releasing one of the filthiest tracks ever dropped on Global League.
Get you in.
He'll come, bro. Like, he did me a massive favor. Well, I think we helped each other out, but I genuinely had a really, really good time. Mm. It was so good to see a group of kids who were like, they're not all kids. There was actually a fucking 65-year-old dude who's like learning music and DJing. It was so cool.
You're like, be patient.
When you're 95, mate.
But they were so kind, and all of them were just like really genuinely interested. And it felt, it feels good to be able to kind of give back a bit.
So what happens next? These guys have done your shot. I presume someone won, or there's like a finalist, I don't know. And then what happens? They go overseas and play a show, and then…
Yeah, well, I mean, we could talk to one of the winners if we want. We could probably bring him in. But that's exactly what Madface and Chris were trying to resolve. It's like I was saying it to you last week. They ride this massive high of going and competing you know, playing their show, and then they just… JBL just like, all right, competition's over. Everyone go home.
Yeah.
But now I guess, I was there and one of them has now won a residency at the venue.
Okay.
So I think Chris is kind of training them up to like be in the workforce and properly go out and play and stuff. And I know another one's doing weddings and all that. So they're definitely in the industry. They're not as raw as like, they know nothing. They're all starting now. I think the program's been running for a little while now. So they're definitely finding their feet.
If you're listening or watching from your shot, you guys should come in to the studio.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to plug everything as much as I can. At the end, I was like, I don't mean to self-promo, but all of this relates to you and you should enjoy all of this. And then I showed them fucking Weapon. Oh. They were like, wait, what? This guy? And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, yeah, this guy. And then someone was like, didn't he make What's the Fox say? I was like, yes, he did.
That is an episode in itself.
You don't understand. You put your video on the TV and suddenly everyone's jaws just drop. They're just like, whoa, that guy, like crazy, man.
We've got so used to just seeing it now, haven't we?
I know. Like, I'm like, and every time I pull up and I'm like, 50 mil views. That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Not bad from a bedroom setup. So when I recorded Weapon, I borrowed my dad's DSLR. And I used I had a MacBook. I was producing a MacBook. Mm. No, sorry. What's the desktop one?
iMac,
thank you. Ugh, brain fart. Had an iMac and it was the blue light from the iMac shining onto the launch pad, which is why Weapon has that slight blue hue to it.
Is that right?
And my dad's camera could only record for 20 minutes at a time before it would have to be turned off, turned back on. And I remember it took ages.
Grind.
Yeah, it was
an absolute. Is that one take?
Yeah, so all my videos still to this day are one take. Even the last video I did for Chorus, which was recorded on multiple cameras, which was a first. I only ever did one camera. That was still one take. And then I had to make it look as though it wasn't faked, so that every time it cut to a different camera angle, it still looked great. Now that we've got the three big gun cameras, I cannot wait to record my first Launchpad 2024 video. So, yeah, I'm going to blurt the artist name out, but I just want to give a bit of context to be reinvigorated and excited about music again. I was feeling a bit flat last episode, wasn't I, Chief? I just sort of…
Yeah, I knew that when I walked in the door… Sometimes Luke will back me up. You can gauge. You live an intense life, or like at least one much more eventful than mine. And so sometimes when we come to the studio, it's natural, you get a vibe. Man. Yeah, you get a vibe.
But I sent a screenshot to Luke yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to drop it on the podcast.
I'm not going to say the name.
All right. You haven't told Chief.
I haven't told Chief.
Well, you look forward to this after.
So. I don't know. I was chatting to Rach and I was feeling a bit flat. I'm like, I'm sort of losing the enthusiasm for the, like, pursuing the ambition, right? Like, it's, this is why it's so fundamentally important that anyone that is starting out in the music industry that listens to this podcast or watches us on YouTube understands that the grind is real. Never gets any easier. You just get better at dealing with it. But we all have the same struggles. Like, you will have the ebbs and flows of creativity. You will have the self-doubt. You also have these moments of mad inspiration and mad enthusiasm and you'll just dive, you know, headfirst into any opportunity. Anyway, I was on the opposite of that. I was feeling a bit flat and a bit low. I'm like, we're going into 2024. I really want to join Luke in Ibiza in April and I'm trying to figure out all the roadmap to get there. And I was like, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe I'm just not going to get there. And then a notable artist, arguably one of the largest, if not, yeah, the largest pop artists of our time emailed me saying, hey, Nick, it's been a while. So I got an email from, I'm going to let,
fuck off. I had it in my head.
She said, hey, Nick, it's been a while.
She must have seen the clip or something. Didn't we have a clip?
I don't know.
This is all fuck. I just spoke, yeah.
How are you going? You know, the demos we recorded, do you have a copy? Can you, whatever. And I sent it to Luke. And what did Hannah's response?
She, I showed her the screenshot on my phone and she threw the phone away and said, I want to vomit out my nose.
So without giving too much away, because you know, I don't want to jinx it or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
That was really motivating because that…
A lot of questions. We'll go into it later. Yeah.
But I was like, I want to get in the studio. I want to finish the demos. I want to do this. I want to do that. Like it was all of a sudden like the…
Wave.
Yeah. And… So that's been really awesome. And then we had a huge opportunity land at the studio again for another really notable person in Formula One. So we're starting next year with some really exciting projects. The stuff with Chorus has really picked up. I will be submitting 20 projects of my own and breaking them into stems so that other people can take those stems and remix them or whatever. So I think we're hitting the ground rolling next year, aren't we, Luke? We've got some stuff happening. But it was just this email at a time when I really needed just something to say, hey, still part of the game here. So I'm not sure how much of this segment I'll keep in the podcast, but I just wanted to share that with you and definitely get
It's funny how sometimes when you need it the most, the universe just gives you something, right?
Right. And I was thinking, wow, wouldn't that be fun if some of these projects went out? Because it would honestly be 10 years to the day that they were recorded. And you know the saying, you know, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. And wouldn't it just be bizarre? Wouldn't it just…
Let's put it out there. 2024, 10-year overnight success. Love it.
There you go. So I just wanted to share some…
Oh, that's great, really man. Exciting it's news. Like any of us here that like win, whether it's Luke, you, myself, like we're all…
I told you how lonely it was, man, at the start. I had no understanding of really what was going on, what touring overseas meant, what signing a record label meant, what any of it was. And I think you don't know what you don't know. So at the time, I probably didn't take the opportunities as far as they could have gone just purely out of not knowing, just blissful ignorance. This time around, I have so much more knowledge and understanding, but it would be so much more fun to have the crew there as part of the journey. There is nothing fun. We spoke to VOE about this. There's nothing fun about going to a hotel room by yourself at the end of a massive show and being like, all right.
Yeah. But if you've learned those lessons and you get to do it again, you're back, I'm going to change this.
And I love the Americans, right? How especially Shalizi's group of artists, they all seemingly tour together and they all hang out together and they go to shows together. Even if they're not playing, they'll still hang out. And there seems to be this camaraderie that we noticed a lot when we're in the States. That doesn't exist here, I don't think. But it could, and I think it will.
Mm.
Yeah. Not going into a rant about it.
No.
But yeah.
Not this week.
Tune in next year.
We'll save it for that.
Yeah. But no, Luke, I want you to explain some of the vibe you got. Your most recent trip, correct, was Amsterdam. So correct. That was for the…
ADE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the ADE on the internet. God, I sound so old. So you went to…
the musics.
For the musics. So that ADE stands for?
Amsterdam Dance Event.
Dance Event. So that's predominantly electronic club music, right?
Yeah. It's predominantly house, techno.
Yep.
All derivatives of.
And did you find the energy there was similar to what we probably experienced, but maybe not as niche in Hollywood? Did you find that people just got it?
Yeah, absolutely. What you find over there though is because it's starting to get the end of summer, it's cooling down, the weather was freezing this year, everyone's been at it, touring, playing shows, doing everything for 3, 4, 5 months even.
Yep.
They're all kind of war hardened.
Right.
They're there, in it, they're just getting on with it.
They're already in the zone. Yeah. They're not excited about what's coming.
They've done it. Let's just get on with it.
What was one of the most awesome events or things that happened? I know I didn't send you this question prior to the episode, so I'm totally putting Luke on the spot, which he hates. But was there a key moment where you were just I want everybody in our crew to be at this event?
There was a couple, one that springs to mind. So I've spoken to you guys off camera previously, but I got actually quite sick at ADE. I got a cold.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So for two of the days, I was just struggling to get through. And then I got to the Saturday morning and I hadn't really done a lot on the Friday. There's a few shows I was supposed to go to. There was something I was supposed to work at, but it was midnight till 5 a.m. And I'm if I do that with a cold, I'm going to be absolutely shit house the next day. So I got up on Saturday and I'm there was not really anything on. It's kind of just the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, other days. And I wandered down to one of the venues and I'm just going to see what's around and, see what's there. So I go to this, I got a, part of when I went this year was part of an Australian delegation. So I was in a WhatsApp group.
Yep.
And one of the guys was Dave Winnell's playing it.
And
as his new project. Sorry, Dave, can't remember what the new project's called. But we went down there and it was a little collection of Australian industry people, DJs, managers, label people, booking people and stuff like that. And it was one of the most sort of serendipitous moments where you're just kind of standing there having a beer and random Australians would just walk up and start chatting to you. And be oh, what's your name? What are you doing? And you just, when you travel over there, you don't meet a lot of Australians.
Mm.
And I've spent a lot of my time meeting people from other countries and, Europe, America, whatever. It was really nice to just connect with some local Australian people.
Yeah.
Because you don't really meet them in Australia. Mm. It's almost you need to go away to form those connections.
And for it to be legitimate too.
Yeah.
I feel if you meet someone in Australia and I'm in the music industry, they go, okay. But then if you meet them overseas, they're well, you must be for real.
Yeah, you're here.
You've come over here. Yeah. Yeah, so that was really good.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was probably one of my highlights because I just wasn't expecting anything.
You've had a lot of moments like that. Again, I might have to cut sections out of the podcast, but we've been talking about this platform called Chorus and Luke was just where were you when you
were? It was at IMS.
That was at IMS.
2022.
Right, yeah. So you just, you went to dinner with these guys or?
They had a stand there last year, 2022 right. And I just looked at it and I'm like, Nick needs to be in this.
Yep.
This is right up your alley. It was everything that you kind of do at the time with the game that they were planning at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's pivoted a bit into the Chorus now with the remix. It was that was back with the Linkser and the augmented reality gaming and that sort of stuff. But yeah, just got chatting to those guys there and then caught up with them again start of this year.
But then didn't you go out for sushi or something?
Yeah. Caught up with a couple of guys for a beer and we ended up having sushi.
Luke's hanging with the team. Literally the whole team that create this platform and the CEO. And I think one of them was saying we need a name.
Yeah, they were brainstorming the name.
Literally brainstorming at the time. Chorus. And Luke's just there.
You came up with it, or they came up with it?
I didn't come up with it.
No, he was just munging on some sushi, mate. But he was there. And
drinking
just,
my beer, eating some sushi.
But the great thing was, so I think at the end of last episode, I was talking about how I was going to do a Beatport first chorus.
Yeah, you did your own little
Twitch stream thing. We talked about that, and it was great because Inder, the CEO, was actually saying that, you know, Luke and I have actually been part of really this Pixel Links and chorus thing for like 2 years now. So it's not, it's going to be really interesting because when we really start pushing like what I'm doing in the platform, people are like, oh, where did this all come from? It's like, no, we've actually been working on this for a couple of years.
And there's been lots of iterations as well, you know.
Yeah.
People that have been following along for the journey, it's been.
But that's a really good point, I think, to raise for anybody listening to take note of. But there are iterations and there are times where things don't work and you pivot and you change and you try something else, or you take on feedback and you develop something and it's always better. And one of the biggest things that I learned maybe in the last 5 years of my career was actually to take criticism, to stop going, no, I don't agree. Like, I'm just going to do me. Mm. It's actually really good. Some of the best songs I've come up with actually is when Luke's come in sort of partway through a project and been like, that's wrong. And I'm like, well, no, I like it, but I should listen to this advice. And I change something. And I go, oh, no, you're right.
You're actually really good at accepting constructive criticism.
Thank you. I didn't used to be though.
Yeah.
And it's the same for relationships. I used to always be like, oh, you've said something that I've done wrong. Well, I'm going to go nitpick something you've done wrong as opposed to just own it. Like, yeah, 100% you're right.
Mm.
I didn't do the dishes last night. You know, like just own it.
Didn't do my dishes either.
Sorry, I didn't do your dishes. anyway, we go off on a tangent. But it's just, I think it's good for people to know that, you know, you're going to be starting out and you want to like, this is a great episode because it's kind of like a summary of the end of the year. One of the topics we had this year that did really well was perfectionism and that how that just kills our industry because, Chief, you're like me, right? It has to be perfect before we put it out. There's no such thing.
That's why I've released 3 songs ever.
What? How many? Was it every 2 years?
I think it was every 3. It was like 2017, 2020, 2023.
Did you get one out this year?
Was this Istanbul this year?
I can't remember.
I think it was the start of the year.
I think so. I think the last time you were on an episode, you said that you'd
consistency.
Bang on. Another really big one.
Yeah, I definitely
consistency.
That. How did the Twitch thing go?
Really good.
I couldn't wake up at 5 a.m. to watch that. It was good. So,
I watched it in bed.
You there? Yeah.
I watched it in bed.
Yeah, killed it. And did the setup go all right? Because right before we left, so Thursday night, it was Friday morning. He's like, have you ever done Twitch streaming before? I'm like, yeah, but like, I don't know what you're getting into. And he was like, should I just use the Mac? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the video is terrible from your Mac.
Yeah.
So I was like,
So they used another, they had a whole tech team. It was great. I sort of signed into this other platform. I can't remember what it was called. I can't remember. Anyway, there was a guy in Mexico, Johan, lovely, being like, all right, we're going to test your audio on your mic and test the video and whatever. Like, your internet's not great.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm in Australia. Your video looks shit. I was like, oh crap. So I jumped off the Wi-Fi here at the studio, tethered my phone, got that good old 5G, and he's like, that fixed it.
Yeah, but how
bad is that? So I did an hour presentation on my phone. Anyway, I was using my laptop, but I took some of the lights out of here and took them into the studio. But it just looked like I was in a big, you know, vacuum of space because I didn't really think that through. I should have done it on the couch here with all the lights and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, next time, learning curve. But no, it was a really great discussion and it kind of leads me to the next topic that I wanted to chat with you guys. The AI, well, everything about AI this year has been a huge topic of conversation. You know, we're talking about crypto stuff. We're talking about creative tools that, you know, do Photoshop rendering and, you know, artwork and it's taking people's jobs and it's helping with copywriting and all this sort of stuff. And now it's really sort of starting to make big noise in the music industry. What's your opinion on AI being integrated into music in 2024? We'll start with you, Chief.
Well, the chorus stuff when we had a play with it the other week, like I was like, this is very, it's not the word, the best word isn't usable, but like you could really get far with using those tools. I don't think it'll ever replace humans, but it looks like it's going to be able to help a lot.
Massively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for someone like you and I that might get stuck on an idea and then that sort of puts us off finishing the track, AI can definitely help in providing options, for a better word.
How do you think it's going to go though, right? So from what I could see from the chorus, the way that the AI worked is it just took the samples provided and put them together, right? To give you something. Yep. But if you're already halfway through writing something, you're not going to find AI to fix it and finish it, right?
I think it was Splice. Maybe we need to fact check this. I had an email during the week where I think it was Splice. They've built some AI into their platform now where basically it does the searching for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically tell it what you want and it's like, here's all the sounds that fit within that soundscape.
Yeah.
Rather than you going BPM, 132,
mm-hmm.
E-flat, whatever. Instead of you going in and filtering, you literally just say, I want something that sounds like this in this key. And it just goes and does all the searching for you.
Is that not just an enhanced search function?
Yeah, but it's saving you time.
Which is fantastic. So I don't think that's going to pull away.
And you can also say, that's not doing it for me. Ask a different question and it goes.
So it's not a negative, right?
No, that's
not a negative. I guess what people are afraid of is the whole cookie cutter thing where it's people might find that the music sounds like some other AI generated music. I don't know if that's even possible, but. Why? What's your biggest concern?
Well, no, I'm not concerned at all. I'm trying to imagine what the tool's going to look like. My next thing is like, surely it probably already exists, right? You prompt it and it spits out MIDI. Surely that a thing yet?
I'm sure that will come. I'm
Are you sure.
You know, I want a moody electronic in E flat 130, and then it just.
You can tell GPT to be like, write me a sad song about a relationship breakup that's this many lyrics and this many songs. And
yeah,
we
tried it once. It was pretty cool.
What were you saying before then? Am I scared or am I thoughts?
Did you have any concerns? Like some people would argue that if AI is doing too much, then what's the point in our involvement or is it taking jobs? You know, so I guess I'm using AI to assist in mastering currently. We've spoken about that plenty of times where it's not doing a huge amount. It's maybe just helping if I'm not listening to certain things, highlighting that, okay, the bass is wrong, you know, and I'm still going, disagree. Subjectively, I want it to be that. But that's been good. AI is definitely helping people with, like, certainly, like, my productions always lack in the percussion. Like, I don't love sitting in Ableton for 4 hours building percussion.
Me too.
Yeah, but I love percussion, but I'm impatient. I like to get to the point where it's bang on. So in chorus, I can be like, oh, okay, well, this percussive stem is actually like real jungly.
That's just loops. You're just pulling loops that exist anyway.
Sure. So I think it's more about time optimization. So the efficiency of your time in the studio is going to be enhanced from having an assistant that can help curate.
I think that's the power of AI moving forward. Like if you want to keep your creativity, it's the enhancements in procedure. And
but it goes so much broader than that too. Without boring our audience to tears with the back-end music business, the legacy industry, which we're still in, where we're moving out, but we're still in the legacy industry, which is, you know, the outdated contracts that don't really look after artists. Artists are getting the smallest cut of the whole pie. Artificial intelligence can do all the mundane, boring, and difficult tasks like data reconciliation, tracking royalties, figuring out which parts you and I contributed to a track and tracking that throughout every time it's being played and helping basically the machine, the payout machine. Mm. And not that we do this for the money, but wouldn't it be great to know that there's transparency to that as well, that a computer has helped fix the money system?
The one concern I have with that is like AI at the moment, pretty unreliable in terms of like fact checking.
That's very true.
I was doing... I signed up for GPT-4 during the week and they've got the create an image function. You go and say, make me a logo that looks like this, that has this, whatever. I guess like random words are in there and it misspells your brand name. And like there's just
they can't make hands. I'm trying to generate.
So I imagine like the technology's there, but it needs to be refined a bit before we can be like, go out and find all my royalties. And it's like, hi, Nick, I found you these royalties. And like,
you owe money.
Half of them is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. I feel like you have your hands in it more than I would know. Where do you see it going? As in, how is it going to, what's its role alongside artists? Because I don't see it as a tool that's going to overtake an artist.
No, not yet.
I think I don't know if there's a tool out there that does this, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it where you can upload 10 of your tracks and it will figure out what your soundscape is. and you're like, make me an M4 Sonic track that sounds like these 10 tracks. And it goes, there's a track.
That's scary then. Because you could just put in 10 Deadmau5 songs and say, make me one. And then, oh, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. There's always that groove and natural human emotion and like pace to a song that I think will be difficult to replace. But I don't, wouldn't be surprised if it gets good enough to just kind of do it.
You know, we had this argument maybe 6 or 7 years ago when we started using samples and we started using presets in the electronic music. And people, they had that meme where it's like, well, you didn't make that snare drum. You didn't make the drum. You didn't make the goat that they skinned for the drum skin. Like, like how deep can you go? It's the same with like a piano.
Then you talk about rock stars, right? And you're like, well, they didn't make the Fender, the guitar, you know. Correct. They just bought it and played it.
They wouldn't have, they would have barely engineered anything. They just played the music. Well, that actual sample argument thing got brought up at my presentation and I was like, just don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry.
And then I gave them an example and I was like, you guys are the only 20 people in the world that know this. I'm going to tell you something why it doesn't matter. And I showed them something. I was like, don't say anything, but that's why it doesn't matter.
Share with the class.
Well, this is the
song I signed was just a loop pitched up. That's the drop.
But that's Kanye West.
But that's what I meant. I was like, it just does not matter. Yeah, like, as long as I was like, look, don't go find an 8-bar bass dubstep loop. And that's just not, I was like, even if you use it though, you're not, that song's not going to connect with that many people anyway, because it just doesn't have the heart in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, that argument definitely popped up and I quickly dismissed it by just being like, especially I was like, you guys are all so fresh in that. I was like, use as many tools as you can.
Until you want to sync something.
Yeah. And then be careful. Oh, yeah. Which we've just been through. It's like, where'd this vocal come from? I'm like, Ousler. Is that cleared? No.
So AI can now help with vocals as well. So you can either use your own voice or you can generate fake one. I'm really interested in that because that's the biggest thing.
So you can, it'd be able to be done to us because there's so many recordings of our voices on the internet as well.
Already have that technology. So we don't use it much now, but it's called Descript. And so when we were doing only audio podcasts, you could take the transcript and if someone mispronounced something, you could substitute the word or you could type a sentence and it would formulate with all the recordings of that.
Wow.
And you know, one of my clients had done, I think, 50 episodes. So we had so much. I mean, that's over 50 hours of her voice that we could effectively generate anything. And I thought, could I call up like a restaurant pretending to be her by typing, hi, I'd like a pepperoni pizza and then just, you know, get away with it? I started to like, whoa, this could be dangerous, but obviously didn't try.
It is. I remember seeing something about it before. They were like, you need to come up with code words between your family, privately, unrecorded, like written on a piece of paper, being if you ever get a phone call saying
from your kids,
saying I've been kidnapped, you have to say, what's your safe word? And if you don't say the word that we wrote down in that room, then it's fake.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a very good call.
But my thing was that, and I've seen it heaps on TikTok, it came up the other day, is that people sing a song or a rap and then get the AI to make it Drake's voice. So you still get to like, you don't have to program like, you know, sing this note, sing that note. Yeah. You just get to sing it and then it changes it to.
Yeah, David Guetta did that, I think.
He used Eminem.
Yeah, that's right.
Eminem.
Ew. Oh, no shit.
So, I mean, there's going to be some interesting conversations soon as to.
Yeah, but haven't some artists kind of bought into it and said like, yeah, you can use my.
Yeah, Grimes did that.
Yeah, she was the one.
Grimes was like, use all my stuff, give me 50%.
Yep.
Which is genius because you get 100,000 people around the world using your Grimes voice and you all of a sudden you're getting royalties from all over the shop.
So it's kind of smart.
Sure. I mean, yeah, like as you said, you're getting investment from not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Well, people…
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. I mean, at that point…
And it works really well for me then because if I jump back on a launch pad, AI can't do that.
Never.
Well…
Let's see about that.
Yeah. Well, they don't have hands. So.
Well, you know, yeah, once some robot has hands and a supercomputer can come up with 64 samples in freestyle, take my money. But until that point, there you go.
I think you touched on an important thing there. And the more AI becomes prevalent, the more people that are using it, like always with music, whoever's the most creative and whoever's, you know, doing their own thing, people naturally resonate towards art and people doing something that's good. And if everyone starts making the same crap because they're all using the same tools and the same, you know.
100%.
I think.
I feel like AI has also probably had more time graphically, right? With artworks and it's had time in that space already. And I don't see it. It hasn't like taken over. No. I feel like it's a bit more advanced in that area than it is in music. If you use that as a reference point, you'd probably be like, well, we're safe for a little while.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I saw something else during the week, which was like finishing melodies.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah.
You can do a chord and you're like, give me three different options for this chord progression. And you could go, no, don't like that one. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. And it just keeps creating the MIDI for you in different chord progressions.
Well, I'm interested in that because I know you're classically trained and you can write music, but I can't. So like—
He's a guru.
I would really, that's what I said before when I was like, can it write me MIDI? I was like, that's what I need.
Yeah. It's going to take my job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those lush chords.
Yeah. I mean, we've already run out of musical notes. I think we've done everything we possibly can.
What if you just detuned everything by like 20 cents and then—
Dude, I wondered this. So— Okay, I'm going to get the numbers wrong here, but Blondish did a post about 432 hertz, which is a frequency that apparently resonates really well with humans. Apparently, again.
Okay, so I know babies' cries resonate poorly.
Oh, yeah, that, woo!
So I wonder why 432 sounds so good.
Well, I don't know. I've actually sort of dabbled in this and tried an experiment where I made a 24-minute loop that it's kind of like day spa music.
Yeah,
it is.
And it's a vibe. Like it's very like it's, it was to help. Number one, it was to help me fall asleep. And then secondly, when mum was on chemo, I sent it to mum, I think, and she listened to it. And then Rachel and I used to listen to it a bunch in the car. And it does whatever. Mm. I think it's just because it's so boring. I don't know if it's the science of the 432 hertz or whatever. I can't even remember what frequency response I was aiming for, but it's just a pad that over time, whatever changes notes. And there's so much stuff on YouTube where you type it in. And I think it's a bit wishy-washy because if you look at the spectrum of sound, like the entire spectrum of sound is hitting you. It's not just
one.
No, it's not. I don't know. I'm still looking
at it. Was talking about the different areas of the world and those different music styles that they're have not, as well.
They're slightly detuned.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I, with my Lobu stuff, when I've chucked the Kora in or something and we've got to put on chromatic scale because the traditional scale is just like, it's all over the place.
What Spark mentions when you said, like, could we detune everything by 20 cents?
It's kind of what we've already done, but we've.
Yeah, like different places go by what, different scales, right?
Yeah.
But even the old tapes that are stretching, right? Like, I've been listening to so much vintage Christmas carols this week. I just think they're heaps better than the new ones. They almost have, like not on Spotify, it's a perfect replica, digital, whatever. But like old tapes, when they get stretched, that's how they used to pitch correct back in the day, right? So as tapes get older, they play, I'm going to say slower. Is that right? They'd play slower. So they actually would be slightly out of tune. Yeah, ever so slightly. And I wonder if that's where we're going to go. Are we going to start making music, which is
going faster at the moment? I mean, when you're on TikTok, everything's 2x speed.
I hate that so much.
And people are releasing. I swear I saw Ocean Alley drop their song just faster.
Yeah, they just put brackets, sped up version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's going on?
Attention spans. Like, I have you discovered that on TikTok, if you hold the left side of the screen, it plays in 2x fast?
No.
You're never going to watch TikTok the same again because anytime someone starts blabbing on, I'm just like, come on, get to it. But yeah.
Music's always been at the forefront of culture and currently TikTok is culture, so.
This so guy, wise, man. Dude. Just dropping dimes. My favorite part is that, how do you feel about your clips from this episode? You're just going to be Christmas hat, Christmas sweat.
I mean, we can only use these clips for a very short amount of time, can't we?
Everyone's going to know they're time stamped from.
Yeah, sorry guys, I ruined that.
No.
Timelessness of this clip is
it's more just like I'm ready for you to just be scrolling your phone and be like, ah, shit. Christmas Luke.
Yeah, there we are.
That's what you get for one-upping us on our own Christmas show.
Rudolph, I mean, we had some tinsel.
Yeah, how'd you go without getting glitter everywhere? Did you do it outside or you just…
you should see outside. I actually wondered if that's why you double parked tonight, because you couldn't see past all the glitter in the car.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, thanks.
Did you see how he parked tonight?
Your car threw me off. I was like, who's here?
That wasn't my car.
I'm practically on South Road.
Yeah, I know, same. I had to park in the next door neighbor's car park. This guy just
rocked
up.
It's funny because I saw you park and you parked on the other side of the car park. I'm like, yeah, my
bad. Yeah, I went out in the car park and I shook this thing like crazy, and just a cloud of gold glitter dust filled the car park. Somehow I didn't manage to get it in.
I'm glad I didn't just pull it out of the box the other night. Because I saw it.
I would have been stressing hard. I know. I like things clean, and that thing is just, yeah. Anyway, that was next Christmas on the forecast. We'll have.
Why didn't we do red and green lights?
I don't know.
It's all right. A lot of lessons learned, ready for next year. Episode what? It'd be around 80-ish, I'd say. If we keep up an episode a week.
Damn, we still wouldn't have cracked the 100. But we'll see how we go.
We could push out a couple if we get some.
At least 50. But you're right. Yeah, good maths, 80.
Yeah.
So does that segue us to goals for next year?
Yeah, I reckon. I'm not going to start. You boys, what are your goals for next year?
Well, you brought it up, Luke.
I don't. Yeah.
You dug yourself that hole.
I am going to release 12 Lobu songs this year.
Whoa,
dude, that is an outrageous call.
I've said it before.
Sounds
say
like
it again.
Nick's 32.
This year is the year.
I see Nick's 32.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And you're going to be traveling.
Yeah.
Well, you said it wasn't goals, right? You just said things like, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not a goal. I'm just going to do it.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, sick.
All right. All right, chief.
Well, so one
what
a month?
What are you looking? No, maybe 2 6-track EPs. I don't know. Maybe.
He's spoken so much how we don't like EPs. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to release an album of work and people don't listen.
I feel like I've got three very specific bodies of work when I listen as an album. Like if I listen to all 20-odd tracks that are 80% finished, I'm like, none of these fit together. So if I can collect them into groups of five or something, it might make more sense.
Well, maybe it shouldn't make sense. Maybe the album should be sporadic.
Yeah.
All right, so that's your goal is 12 tracks. And what about you, Chief?
Next year is going to be a real big year for me in my personal life and hopefully my music life as well. But I don't know so much how much focus primarily I'll be able to put into it. But I just want to keep releasing music. I've got some and it just needs to come out whether I think it's the best or not. So that is definitely to focus on. But I think if I'm speaking honestly, the first 6 months is going to be getting ready to have a wedding. So that's going to be probably like a main focus of mine. And then in the back, priority two is probably going to be podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Priority three is probably going to be maintaining client work. And then four, probably like my own stuff. But three and four can definitely switch around because if the client stuff eyes up, and then I want to pump my own stuff.
I'm really excited to see how Chief themes his Lakers wedding.
No, Lakers themed wedding. Have you seen? Clippers won 8 games in a row at the moment. We are rolling. So the Lakers lost to someone's shit yesterday. So
Damn. I'm going to release 20 projects and I'm confident in that because Luke and I've already listed them. So
you've got, are they finished?
No.
No.
They don't need to be though. Because they're going to become available to everybody.
Be whips.
They're going to be stemmed.
Oh, because they're going to go on the
going to go on chorus. Right.
So are they going to be on released properly, like as full tracks?
We're going to figure that out.
I'm still figuring that out.
Still trying to figure that out. That's going to be an interesting one. I kind of hope that they can still be released in some commercial sense. But if they can't, I think that's still better than them sitting on a hard drive doing nothing. But with that in mind, I'm now going into the projects thinking, how can I make these better when they become the 8-track stem version of what they are. So that they're more versatile. So that when people really do start using chorus and pulling my percussive stems or my bass, whatever, it makes sense where some of these projects are, it's hard to explain. Lots of ideas. They could almost become different projects themselves. So just a bit of a cleaning and polishing, but not to the point that I'm not then releasing. I've got a reason to put them out now, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think output for next year is a massive one. The forecast, this podcast is a huge, huge like pillar of support for my career.
Ultimate guest, if you could land one next year.
I would be fascinated to talk to Skrillex. Like, just say Sonny was in town, to think like from first to last to where Skrillex ended up to now what he's doing, I think would be wild. Mm. Or another one that I would be so cool, Benny Blanco.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great choice. Yeah.
Nice. You know, I haven't seen him in a long time. The last time I saw him, he was in…
You met him?
Yeah, he was in the studio with Stargate. And oh, he was dude, in a…
Is he as weird a unit as he's…
So funny, so lovely. And he…
I could tell he'd be like the best guy.
I didn't know who he was when I first met him. There was just this guy in the studio that was wearing pajamas, I think. Or like it was like some sort of onesie. And I was like, cool. And then he just had the most outrageous stories of all these people that he'd worked with. Yes. And
a track record.
Yeah. Just crazy talented. So that'd be a good one. So either Skrillex or Benny Blanco.
What about you, Jay?
Boombox Cartel.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that. He's been awesome. So I think that'd be like a full circle moment.
Nice.
That'd be awesome. And I just want him to come to Australia.
Where's he from?
He's in America. I don't know why, but he hasn't toured here. I know it's really difficult to tour here, but I just want him to tour this country and then I'm going to just be annoying. But we'll just come to you.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll take it on the road.
If he doesn't come here, I'm like…
We'll take the podcast on the road. Maybe we take the podcast to America.
Yeah, well, that'd be awesome too. So yeah, I think that would be probably the international guest. I reckon like nationally, I think Fisher would be just like…
That would be…
I feel like I'd need to pump myself up a little bit. Yeah.
Everybody be doing shooies.
Yeah, I think I need to get on the level there. But I think he would be, we probably wouldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd be able to done a podcast before.
Really? Yeah, he's done heaps on the BBC.
Really?
Yeah, there's quite a few reels on and then TikToks on him on these.
You got someone you wanna interview?
No.
Okay.
Leave that to you guys.
Yeah. You want to us to interview anyone?
Leave that to
is there someone that you're like, oh, the boys should jump on that?
I reckon someone old school would be great.
That's
Carl Cox.
Yeah.
Like someone.
And Carl comes to Adelaide a lot.
Don level.
Actually, yeah. He is coming here, so.
He feels like
such a…
Mobile disco last weekend.
He feels like a dude that would totally do it as well.
Let's make it happen, everyone.
Mr. Cox. I'm through.
See you early January.
And you can have a disco out the back.
Yeah.
Done.
He'd totally be the type of dude to be like, yeah, do you want a DJ? Be like, yeah, how many hours?
I've only got 7.
Amazing.
Let's make it quick. I've only got 12 hours.
Well, we thank you again, everybody, for tuning in.
I've got one special shout out to a guest, not a guest, a fan of ours, but someone who was, I think he's, been engaging with us since the beginning, really. And he was very kind to me and ended up purchasing my entire catalog off Bandcamp overnight.
No way.
And I think that's just such a special thing to do to someone you've never met and support them that way. And I just… Shout out. You know who you are. Thank you very much. It means a lot.
Is it a shout out if you don't actually shout out their name?
Well, I'm not going to dox someone, and it's not a competition of, so I'm not, it's not like that, but just want that person to know that I really appreciate it.
If you're listening and you'd also like to be not mentioned on the podcast, please download Chief's tracks on Bandcamp.
I'm not going to say his name. No.
I'd also shout out…
It's a personal…
And also, you've been amazing.
No.
Everybody listening, you know who you are.
Nah.
Well, far out.
In my… Okay. Well, I don't like to get doxed on the internet very often, so that's my…
What's doxed?
I don't know.
It's when you share people's personal details online. So if I found out your personal YouTube or something…
Yep.
And I was like, thanks, Luke_34.
Don't people do that all the time?
Yeah, and I would hate it if it happened to me because people can find out who you… But to me, privacy is pretty important. So. Guess you know who you are, man.
It wasn't Luke_34 who bought the album.
I'm
fascinated in that.
That's my reasoning is had my stuff leaked before and it's not fun.
Well, that's a very valid… There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd like to thank Anthony of Warren Drive, South Yarra. I'm joking. I just made that up. Seriously, shout out.
Anthony's listening like, oh my God, he knows me.
Some poor person that is actually called Anthony.
South Yarra.
Anyway,
that's so good.
We do have some phenomenal supporters, and we have taken note. Our prize winners too, that will at some point in time receive their prizes.
It's on its way, right?
It's on its way. We want you guys to know that we really appreciate it. It does motivate us when you comment. And look, it's humble beginnings. We're starting from zero and we're going to work our way to the top. We're still number two podcast in the world. according to no one. But there's no stats on Spotify. So
shout out to that guy.
Yeah, there's no stats on Spotify because no one's listening.
No, there's no you can actually, there's like a web page that you can pay to get stats and stuff. But there's no public information as to how many plays a podcast has had. Only
who do you reckon's got more plays? The forecast or Lobu?
We can't all be Chief Street.
Dude, I'm not Mr. Million over here. Sorry. Should have been spreading joy, not.
It was the forecast, sorry, right? You put your 12 songs out next year, we'll see how we go. Oh,
it's coming for you.
Yeah. No, it's been a blast. And we want to shout out everybody. Everybody, there you go. I've said everyone. And have a very Merry Christmas from us and our families to your families.
We're going to take next week off. So we'll be back in the new year.
Yep. See you in 2024.
Episode 31. Peace. Thanks, Luke, for being here. Sorry.
Thanks for having me.
Jokes.